Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Girira Maharaj ki. So tonight we'll begin chapter number 73. What is chapter 73 called? Lord Krishna blesses the liberated kings. Because the kings were captured by Garasa. How many kings were captured? 200,800. Okay. 2 lakhs. So he caught all the kings, and now Krishna is liberating them. Thank you all for coming. Huh? Lucky you got here before Janmashtami started. Good. Okay. Everyone gets it. So now we'll begin the chapter of how Lord Krishna blesses the liberated kings. And we'll go from verse 1 to 17. Shukadev Goswami said, Jarasandha had defeated 20,800 kings. You were right. I thought I read today, I thought it was 200,000. 20,800 kings in combat and thrown them into prison. As these kings emerged from the Giridroni fortress, they appeared dirty and shabbily dressed. They were emaciated by hunger, their faces were dried up, and they were greatly weakened by their long imprisonment. The kings then beheld the Lord before them. His complexion was dark blue, like the color of a cloud, and he wore a yellow silk garment. He was distinguished by the Sri Vatsa mark on his chest, his 4 mighty arms, and the pinkish hue of his eyes, which resembled the whirl of a lotus. His lovely cheerful face, his gleaming makara earrings, and the lotus club, conch shell, and disc in his hands, a helmet, a jeweled necklace, a golden belt, and golden bracelets and armlets decorated his form. And on his neck he wore both the brilliant, precious Kostuba gem and the garland of forest flowers. The kings seemed to drink his beauty with their eyes, licked him with their tongues, relished his fragrance with their nostrils, and embrace him with their arms. Their past sins now eradicated, the kings all bowed down to Lord Hari, placing their heads at his feet. It's a very beautiful description. The opening 6 verses. No purport by the BBT commentators, but there is purport by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. What time does this class start? What's wrong with all of you people? Huh? Do you all have disabilities? Huh? Something is wrong. Come on time. All this late nonsense. Not very good. Okay, so Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives a commentary. In his commentary, he says that the kings, they embrace Krishna with their glance. How is it possible that you can embrace someone with a glance? It is possible because Krishna's senses are interchangeable. We sing in the morning, what is that verse from Brahma Sanyita? Angani. Yasya Sakalendra. Diti Manti means that with any of the senses, Krishna can perform the function of the other senses. So just by his glance, by his eyes, he can embrace someone. And also the devotee reciprocating with Krishna, he can also do like that. So they were embracing Krishna with the eyes. Out of love and affection. Because this is the nature of prema. What does the Bhagavatam teach us? The prayojana. The 10th canto is called Ashraya. Ashraya means the ultimate shelter. And the ultimate shelter is Krishna. So because he is the ultimate shelter, then he is the ultimate Ashraya. He is the prayojana, the goal. Krishna is attained by prema. And the kings had prema, love for Krishna. Therefore, they could embrace him just with their eyes. And they were fully satisfied just by seeing Krishna. So this is the purport of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna is the goal of the Bhagavatam. This is stated in the very beginning, in the Parivasa Sutra. Then in the second canto, it says that Harinama no Kirtana. That is the Abhideya. Abhideya means the process. How to reach Krishna. What is it? Harinam? What does Harinam mean? Means you have to chant the holy name. Anukirtana. What is Anukirtana?
Following in the footsteps.
Following in the footsteps of? Great acharyas, your spiritual master, advanced devotees, shiksha gurus, like that. Chanting is not something which is automatic. It is anukirtana. Whenever we chant, either japa or kirtan or sankirtan, you have to learn how to do it. You have to associate with devotees who have taste for the holy name. That is the most powerful way to develop taste for the holy name yourself. If you're associating with devotees who have taste, then you will also develop that correct mood in chanting. Anyone can chant the holy name, that's easy. But to have the correct mood while chanting, that needs to be imbibed. That is passed on by association. When you associate with advanced chanters, people who have a taste for the chanting of the holy name, by their association, then you develop the right mood. So these kings, they were advanced devotees. And when they saw Krishna with prema. It was the goal of life. They fully surrendered to Krishna, which is our goal, is to fully surrender to Krishna. And then they embraced him with their eyes. They had heartfelt affection. Sneha means affection for Krishna. So, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, the verse itself says that, near the end of the verse, it was fine. Their past sins now eradicated, the kings all bow down to Lord Hari, placing his head. Their heads at his feet. We can only see Krishna when our sins are eradicated. That's why in ISKCON, when we join, when we take initiation, when we take vows, we say there's four things we will not do. Does anyone remember what they are? Very good. Yeah, these four things. Right? We vow to do these four things at the time of
initiation.
Because these four things are sin, they're path. And if you perform those four things, right, you will not be able to develop Krishna prema. Because each one of them contaminates the consciousness in a different way. And if the consciousness is contaminated, you can't reach Krishna. Therefore, it is necessary to give up those four things. And there are more things also. That's just the beginning of this. But there are, these things must be given up. Now, one thing that we sometimes do in ISKCON, we push people to take initiation too quickly. Because you see, not everyone can maintain the vows. Right? It takes time. So it's something we need to learn in our maturity as devotees. Don't push people too quickly. Don't take forever either. Because then that doesn't get you to the goal. But also don't push people too quickly. Because it's a huge commitment. Your whole life you will not perform those four activities. That's a big commitment, especially in Kali Yuga. So we have to be mature in the way that we preach to people and bring them to Krishna, but in a gradual way. And when you can give those things, that's why in the congregation ministry, His Holiness Jayapataka Swami, they have different rungs, right? I can't remember the exact, it's like one round and then four rounds and then eight rounds. I think it goes to 16. And then the 16 and three regulative principles. Because people struggle with illicit sex. Right? So therefore, there is actually a level where it's 16 rounds and three regulative principles. That's there. And then it says higher than that, 16 rounds, right? Four regulative principles. Then you can begin to become ready for initiation. So we have to bring people up gradually. But the point is, all of us have to become free from sin if you want to see Krishna. You have to become sinless. Otherwise, Krishna will keep you at a distance. So there is a price to pay. And the price is reasonable. It's not easy, but it's reasonable. And something we all have to pay if you want to see Krishna. Prabhupada said, if you can do this, you can follow the four regulative principles and chant 16 attentive rounds a day. He said, you will go back to Godhead. But that's not so easy in Kali Yuga. People find that difficult. To chant 16 attentive rounds, right? And to follow the... But if you can do it, you will go back to Krishna in this lifetime. You have to be very serious. Not these inattentive rounds. See devotees all the time chanting inattentive rounds. Very not good. I come here to the temple, I see people out in the courtyard. They're not concentrating on the holy name. It's not good. It has to be good chanting. Attentive chanting. That will get the result. So how did their sins become eradicated? By the darshan of Krishna. When you actually see Krishna, you will lose your taste for the material energy. That's why it is necessary for grihasthas. Hands up if you're a grihastha. Okay, 100%. You're either grihastha or you're grihastha in waiting. But everyone here is grihastha. There's no brahmacharis or brahmacharinis. There are no vanaprastas. And there are no sannyasis. Most devotees are grihastha. So it is necessary and recommended that grihasthas perform deity worship. Because when you focus your consciousness on the form of Krishna, then what takes place? Your sins are eradicated by his darshan. That's why we need the Bhagavad Vidimag and the Pancharatrika Vidimag together. Your chanting becomes much more powerful when you do deity worship. Now, we're very fortunate because, you know, every year I like to try to go to the Holy Dhams. When we go to the Holy Dhams, you see ancient deities. And who is the oldest deity in this universe? Who is the first deity in this universe? No, not Nisringapali. The deity is millions of years old. Yeah, very, very old, but not the oldest. The oldest deity in this universe is Tota Gopinath in Jagannath Puri. Have you seen? Hands up, have you seen Tota Gopinath? Okay, many of you have seen. What's that? Oldest. First deity in the universe. You know, in the Brahma Samhita, Right? When Lord Brahma is meditating, even before the creation takes place, and Krishna appears before him, that's Tota Gopinath. The oldest deity in the universe is Tota Gopinath. First deity in this universe. Right? So, we are so fortunate here in Melbourne because Tota Gopinath and then other amazing deities, when you go to the holy dharms, you see deities which are ancient. Or you go to Jayapur, you see Radha Govinda, right, who was installed by Krishna's grandson, Vajranava. And then he was re-manifested by Rupa Goswami. Now he's in Jayapur. Very, very significant deities, right? Installed by pure devotees. The deity of Radha Damodar was carved with the hands of Rupa Goswami and given to Jiva Goswami. They're very significant deities. However, we're very fortunate because in Melbourne, the deities here were installed by Prabhupada himself, a pure devotee. And it's very significant. These deities are very, very, very significant. And arguably the most beautiful deities in the universe. You know, have you ever seen Srimati Radharani more beautiful than? She's the most beautiful deity in the universe. You know, we just think it's us coming to have darshan, but there's other people coming to have darshan as well. Maybe you can't see them, or maybe they dress up so you don't know who they are, but there are other people coming here to have darshan of these deities. Yeah, people from higher planets were coming to have darshan. So the deities are very powerful. Now, it was brought to my attention by one of the managers here in the temple recently that there are something like 140 brahmanas in this community. Something like that. People have second initiation. And only 20 or 30 are doing deity worship. So what do we call that? That means there's something wrong. If you are living in this community and you don't do direct, if you're a Brahmin initiated devotee, second initiated, you've gone to all that endeavor and you don't do any service for these deities. I mean, I know you have deities at home, that's a different thing. But if you don't do any service, at least once a week, you don't serve these deities and you have second initiation, then there is something wrong. No? Because in particular, these deities are installed by Prabhupada himself. Right? We can't even understand the good fortune. I live away now from that. But when I lived here in Melbourne, I always did Mangalati and bathed Gornitai. You know, once a week at least, or twice a week. Yeah. And on Jamashmi I come, you know, and then I do Aarti for them. And, you know, but we should as much as possible. So this is how you become free from sin. The sinful proclivity is destroyed by deity worship. So it is necessary for all the devotees to do deity worship. And if you're second initiate, you should be doing something directly to the deities every week. And then at home, you have your own deities as well. Any points?
How old are the oldest deities for the Gopis?
Beginning of the universe, so however long that is. Like 150 trillion years or something. Something like that. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any other points? The ecstasy of beholding Lord Krishna having dispelled the weariness of their imprisonment, the kings stood with joined palms and offered words of praise to that supreme master of the senses. So, Krishna is ever fresh. And by his association, we also become ever fresh. Hands up if you feel tired. Okay, a few devotees. Hands up if you feel tired in general, just in life. Hands up if you're tired of life. Yeah, good. I am. I'm totally. I am exhausted. Prabhupada says, nice quote, you know, every morning, I get up in the morning and then I have the calendar, you know, you flip it over, and then you flip over and Prabhupada has one saying. So every morning I get up, I flip it over, and then Prabhupada speaks each day. And it seems like every day it's exactly what you need to get. So there's one day of the year, I can't remember which day it is, but Prabhupada says, the material energy is like hard wood. And Prabhupada says, and the trick is, so he says something like that, is that you have to learn to carve Krishna out of it. So it's not easy. This material world is not easy. But you have to work hard and make Krishna out of this difficult situation. The material world is a difficult place. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Okay, some of you. At least for me it is difficult. That's Krishna's mercy, because he's making us detached. But when you are serving Krishna, you feel ever fresh. You feel enthusiastic, energetic. And you look at Prabhupada. Prabhupada was 70, 75, 78, 80, then 81 when he left this world. And he's so energetic in Krishna's service. Because when you serve Krishna, you become energized. Krishna himself is ever fresh. One of his qualities, 64 qualities, he never becomes fatigued. Hands up if you'd also like to become like that. No fatigue. And you have to go back to Goloka. Because in the spiritual world, you get a spiritual body, and the spiritual body is never fatigued. That is the benediction that Krishna gives everyone. You have a body like his, and it never gets fatigued. But in the material world, you have to suffer. Hare Krishna. There's the nature. So as soon as they saw Krishna, they all became completely enlivened. Because that is the potency of Krishna's darshan and association. Any points? The king said, obeisances to you, O Lord of the ruling demigods, O destroyer of your surrendered devotees' distress. Since we have surrendered to you, O inexhaustible Krishna, please save us from this terrible material life which has made us so despondent. So it says that Krishna removes the distress of those who are surrendered unto him. Because in this world we are suffering from klesha. Klesha means miseries, the distresses. What are the three types of miseries?
Disease, old age.
Yeah, three types. Bhautika, Atmika, and Devika. Just like right now in Victoria, there are 38 bushfires right now in our state as we speak. A couple of big ones out the eastern side, there's some big ones. Dargo, like right out. Like that. So there's some big ones out there. Shh. There are big ones out there, but there are 38 right now. Stop talking. This is called Devika. This is klesha which is given from the demigods. Yeah. This is coming from another cause beyond ourselves. So when we surrender to Krishna, the distress which is given by those things, it becomes destroyed. I had this experience a couple of hours ago. I was in distress. Because I'm trying to do some service for Krishna. But then every time I tried to do the service, it was like there was some obstacle there. So I became distressed. So then because I've been a devotee for a number of years, and I know that when that happens, you just have to take a step back, breathe deeply, right? Chant Om. Not really chant Om, but, breathe deeply, and and rely on Krishna. So I tried to do that. I was feeling some distress, but I was tired and trying to do the service, it wasn't working. So then I said to Krishna, please help me.
And then I went for dinner with some devotees just an hour ago. And they have a picture of Radha Ballabha in their room like that. So when they walked out, I was just sitting there by myself. And I prayed to Radha Ballabha and said, you know, please help me. I'm trying to serve you. Please help me. And then within 5 minutes, the answer came to my problems. And now everything is taken care of and I have no anxieties in this material world. Sri Krishna Chandra Bhagavan Ki. It's not really like that, but you know, still things there. But if we surrender to Krishna, the distress does go away. No. But we have to remember Krishna. Even when we're in distress, even when we're going through difficulty, we have to remember Krishna. That's the test. Sometimes we pass the test, sometimes we fail the test, but we have to remember Krishna. That's the point. So the kings, as soon as they saw Krishna, all the distress went away. There was no more distress. Same for us. If we remember Krishna, the distress will go away. So, any points?
Just a question. What were the three things Mataji was trying to tell me? Nature, poverty, and...
Daivi, Voltika, and Atmika. After class, Mataji can explain to you what they are. Adi Bhautika, Adi Devika, Adi Yatmaka. Okay. O Master Madhusudana, we do not blame this king of Magadha, since it is actually by your mercy that kings fall from their royal position, O Almighty Lord.
What is significant that upon seeing Lord Krishna and the thus becoming the purified of his sins, the kings did not feel any mundane hatred or bitterness toward Jarasandha, who had imprisoned them. Simply by seeing Lord Krishna, the kings came to the position of Krishna consciousness and spoke these verses, which show deep spiritual wisdom.
Any points?
Yes, I am Madhu Pranam. What's this significant?
What does it mean?
The Lord takes away everything. Makes the devotees around him. Sometimes he has to do that. But the kings are very thankful to the Lord that for the situation.
Good. Same with Queen Kunti when she thanks misfortune for bringing Krishna. And she asks for even more misfortune.
You pray like that quite a lot too. Bring more misfortune, more difficulty. That is the prayer of the devotees.
Never pray like that.
Yeah.
Never pray like that.
I was joking. So, Krishna purifies us. And how does he purify us? He makes us humble. All the difficulties that come in your life are from Krishna. Because Krishna wants you to become surrendered to him. And you can only surrender to Krishna when you are humble. Humble means dānya. In Brihā Bhagavatamrita it says that dānya and prema are synonymous. You can't have one without the other. You can't develop love for Krishna unless you have humility. So Krishna, he arranges to make us humble. He gives us difficulty. Just like today, I've had a very purifying day. You know, I said something early in the very beginning of the day, and then Krishna brought it back to me, and then it put me in a humble state of mind. And then later on, then I had this other test, and the service I'm trying to do, and then so many obstacles, and then. Like that. So Krishna does these things to purify us, because if we're not humble, we don't advance in Krishna consciousness. So the kings, they needed to be humbled. So Krishna took everything away, put them in that difficult position, put them in pain and suffering. He put them in prison. Have you ever been to prison? Very difficult thing. Krishna might even put the devotee in prison to purify him. Just like Sanatana Goswami was put into prison. Right? Not because he needed purification, but because it was to teach us that sometimes you have to be put into difficulty so that you will purify yourself, so that you'll remember Krishna. You know? Otherwise, we forget Krishna all the time. You know? Our lives should be in such a way that we remember Krishna. But devotees, even devotees, we become distracted all the time and forget Krishna. You have to be very careful of Facebook. It's a big distraction for Krishna consciousness. So I see devotees posting stupid selfie photos. Even devotees. You know, like doing, you know, pictures and like... You know what I feel like writing? Who cares? I feel like writing, you look stupid. I feel like writing, do something with your life. They do these in devotees, I said, you're stupid things. Yeah. Very silly. This is the modern. What is a selfie anyway? If you actually analyze, it's a very stupid concept. You know, you take a photo of yourself. I mean, what's going on in your head that you're taking a photo of yourself? The fact that you've even got time to take a photo of yourself, you know, instead of doing something more meaningful with your life. I mean, the time it takes you to take the photo, you know, like, you know, move around 6 or 7 times,
right?
And then take it and then post it. And write your hashtags and everything. I mean, what's the point? You could have done something constructive with your life in that time. I use Facebook for preaching because it's a very effective preaching tool. But I never post selfies of myself. Unless it's for preaching, unless I'm saying something meaningful along with it. But, you know, just for the sake of it, just a photo, you know, of me going like, what's the point? So Krishna has to humble us. Otherwise, our tendency in this world is to get bewildered by this material energy. So sometimes he has to put you in prison or something like that to make you more humble. Any points? Okay. Infatuated with his opulence and ruling power, a king loses all self-restraint and cannot obtain his true welfare. Thus, bewildered by your illusory energy, he imagines his temporary assets to be permanent. Jagannath Rampur?
The word unnana indicates that one who is intoxicated by false pride goes beyond the boundaries of proper behavior. Human life is meant to be governed by dharma, spiritual principles for gradual advancement to the perfection of Krishna consciousness. Blinded by wealth and power, however, a foolish person does not hesitate to act whimsically against the laws of nature and God. Unfortunately, this is now the situation in the prosperous Western countries.
Any points?
Similar to Lord Rishabhadev's teaching.
Acquire things which are useless. Acquire things which are useful. So many things in our house we don't actually need. So we see in this material world that material opulence is an intoxication. It intoxicates us. So we have to be very careful of material opulence. There's nothing wrong with having opulence, but you have to use it in Krishna service. Because I know one devotee, it might be more than one, but I know one devotee in our congregation, like in our Melbourne temple, and I know he's... they've given more than $1 million to ISKCON. More than $1 million. I know that for a fact.
They won't.
Why can't you name them properly?
Because they would be upset. They would be upset. If I know that, but they would be upset. And if you said to them, they would deny it anyway. That they've done. But actually, I know for a fact, more than $1 million, they've given to Iskcon. And so there's nothing wrong with having opulence, nothing wrong with having wealth, but if you don't use it in Krishna's service, it will contaminate you. Yeah? So the more you earn, the more you have to give. You have to understand that principle. Yeah? Because, you know, we think, oh, you know, I'll give 10% or something, but if you're earning a lot of money, 10% is not really sufficient. 10% is for those of us who don't earn a lot of money. We give 10%. For those who earn a lot, you have to give more than that. Otherwise, you won't get purified. So opulence itself is not detrimental, but opulence not used in Krishna service, that is detrimental. So you have to be conscious of that. So the kings, they became intoxicated, which is natural. That's the nature of the material world. We become intoxicated by these material things. And the only way to overcome the intoxication is to use it for Krishna. So then, the point is made that one has to follow Dharma. So in our case, it means Sanatan Dharma. Sanatan Dharma means service to Krishna. That is Sanatan Dharma. When you perform Sanatan Dharma, then we purify and uplift our consciousness. In other words, by engaging in devotional service. So we have to regulate ourselves. And as Grihasthas, once again, you know, Prabhupada points out it's important for Grihasthas to worship the deity, and it is important for Grihasthas to give charity to the deity. You have to maintain the deity. Aniruddha Prabhu told me a year or two ago. He said, the main donors in the temple are not the initiated devotees. That doesn't, once again, those things don't make sense. Those who are initiated, I mean, you know, unless they're struggling, but those who are initiated should be the ones who give the most. But it's non-initiated people who actually give more to the deities. So this is how you become purified. As a Grihastha, you have to understand this. Otherwise, it is intoxicating. That's what this pastime is teaching us. Right? The kings became intoxicated. As Grihasthas, you will become intoxicated. Right? If you don't use your wealth in Krishna's service, if you don't worship the deity. So, any points? Just as men of childish intelligence consider a mirage in the desert to be a pond of water, so those who are irrational look upon the illusory transformations of Maya as substantial. So this verse is a good definition of Maya. What is the definition of Maya? What is it? That which is not. So what is the nature of the material world? Mainly it is a place of misery and distress. And what do we all think it is? A place of happiness and reality. How can you be happy in a place where there's no happiness? Just like Burujan Prabhu. He said that when he is asked to speak at a devotee's wedding, sometimes someone gets married and, you know, we're asked to speak at the wedding. So he says that when he speaks at the wedding, he always tells them, be happy in a place where there is no happiness. That's the material world. That's Grihastha life. Be happy in a place where you cannot be happy. You ever have those days where you just feel really happy? Right? Everything's just going really well. Sometimes you have good days, right? There's everything just flows and you feel really good. And then you come home and your wife just gives you the biggest headache, you know, that you've ever had in your life.
Or vice versa. Yeah, she's having a really good day and then the husband does something. And then that's the nature of the mature woman. So try to be happy, but it's not possible. It does not last. As devotees, we know this. It does not last. So don't become intoxicated. Be happy, but understand that it's probably going to finish tomorrow anyway. So enjoy yourselves while you can. Any points? Said to be a mirage in the desert. How can you have happiness in a mirage? Prabhupada said this world is a mirage. One reporter said to Prabhupada, "Do you know everything?" Prabhupada said, "Yes." And they said, "How many windows are there in the Empire State Building?" And Prabhupada said, "How many drops of water are there in a mirage?" It doesn't matter.
Devamrit Maharaj said, "When you are immortal, you have to get wet. You are in material world, so you have to be distressed to find search for happiness."
Yeah, very good. Purujan Prabhu told me there must be pinches. Material world's always pinching you. And then he said there must be pinches. There's always something there. Just like at the farm a couple of nights ago, I was going to take rest. Right? And, you know, long day of service, want to go to bed early, get up early so we can chant. Just about to go to sleep, and then you hear the mosquito. You're like, "Oh, Krishna." And I'm the kind of person, if there's noise, I can't sleep. And one mosquito completely disturbs everything. This is a material world. Enjoy yourself. Prabhupada said the only reason mosquitoes are created is to give trouble to others. You know which animal kills more than any other people? Humans more than any other animal in the world? The mosquito. It kills more humans every year than any other animal. More than lions, tigers, elephants, hippos, anything. Now, hippopotamus is dangerous. Be careful. I'm serious. They're dangerous animals. You probably won't go close to one. But in Africa, they kill quite a number of people every year. Very dangerous animal. They're very territorial. And if they bite you, then you're finished. They just crush you. But more dangerous is the mosquito. Actually, down there near the farm, there's one virus called Ross River virus. It's in Australia. Particular virus. Mosquitoes give it. One of my friends down there near the farm, she got it, bitten by the mosquito. And it makes you very weak. And it stays in your blood your whole life. So she, you know, loses her energy quite a lot. Just one mosquito bite. And that's it, whole life has changed. So very careful. So yeah, try not to let the mosquitoes bite you because they've got viruses now, especially down near where we live. So Hare Krishna. So be happy in the place where there are mosquitoes. Previously, blinded by the intoxication of riches, we wanted to conquer this earth, and thus we fought one another to achieve victory. Mercilessly harassing our own subjects, we arrogantly disregarded you, O Lord, who stood before us as death. But now, O Krishna, that powerful form of yours called time, moving mysteriously and irresistibly, has deprived us of our opulences. Now that you have mercifully destroyed our pride, we begin simply to remember your lotus feet. So what did Dhruva Maharaj say after he saw Lord Vishnu? Lord Narayan?
I was looking for pieces of glass. I was looking for pieces of glass. But now I found a diamond.
Yeah. So this material world is like broken glass. It is worthless. It is mriti. Mriti means. What does mriti mean?
Sorry.
Sand. Yeah, sand means, or like dust. It means just goes out of your fingers. One time I was doing Govardhan Parikram at Vrindavan, Govardhan Hill. And I got the Punchari, which is the very end. You know where you turn around and you start coming back up? Radhagun's at one end, Punjari's at one end. So there's one place at Punjari I like to sit and chant. A little, if you ever come there with me, I'll show you. Very beautiful. It's like a grove, like a kunja. Very beautiful, beautiful place. So I was sitting there chanting. And then one young bridge busi, very beautiful, then he suddenly just appeared. Like he just walked in. Like that. And he sat next to me, and then he just started talking to me. And I was chanting and meditating and like that. And then he came and just started, and he just started preaching to me. And then I realized that actually he was being sent by Krishna to teach me. Yeah. And then he said, everything in this world is like mriti. He said, you know what mriti is? Sand, dust. Then everything just falls out of your fingers, just disappears. And he said, there is only one shelter in this world. Namashraya. Tell shelter of? The holy name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says Namashraya. And then he just got up and he left. And I never saw him again. Just came, he preached to me, and then I never forget that he gave me these teachings. And I haven't realized it yet. But one day I have to realize that this is just like dust. It's like broken glass. Worthless. This world is worthless. All of your anattas. Anatta means invaluable. All the things we're attached to are invaluable. You treat them like they're artha, like they're valuable, but everything is invaluable. And when you give up all that attachment and just take shelter of Krishna in the form of his holy name, then we'll become liberated from this world. So the kings have this realization. They see it all as dust. We have to develop that realization. We have to develop that realization. Any points? Never again will we hanker for a mirage-like kingdom, a kingdom that must be slavishly served by this mortal body, which is simply a source of disease and suffering, and which is declining at every moment. Nor, O Almighty Lord, will we hanker to enjoy the heavenly fruits of pious work in the next life, since the promise of such rewards is simply an empty enticement for the ears. This world is a phantasmagoria. What is a phantasmagoria?
Imaginary.
Yeah. Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur. Who is Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur? Anyone knows him? Prabodhananda? He's one of the contemporaries of the six Goswamis. He is an associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anyone know any of his books that he wrote? Sri Vrindavan Mahimamrita. You've heard of that book? Yeah, very, very beautiful book. Sri Vrindavan Mahimamrita. Very beautiful book. You can get a copy. Written by Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur. If you look at the Mayapur, if you look at the altar, and there's Ashtasakhi, and then if we're looking at the altar on our left, the furthest, who is the furthest gopi on the left? What is her name?
Tungavijja.
Very good. Tungavijja. What does Tungavijja mean? Tunga means mountain. Vijja means?
Knowledge.
Mountain of knowledge. Tungavijja. That's one of Krishna's principal sakis. She's a mountain of knowledge. She can teach you anything. She is the most expert, one of the most expert in serving Krishna. So Tungavijja is Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur. She manifests as Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur. His samadhi, you know Kaliagat in Vrindavan? And when you go around, and the tree where Krishna jumped off, just behind, if you're looking at the tree, just behind to our left, is the samadhi Prabodhananda Saraswati. You can go there and offer obeisances. There's a plaque that says, just ask someone, Prabodhananda Saraswati Park or Samadhi. You can go there and pray. Very powerful place. So he wrote the Sri Vrindava Mahimamrita and other books. There's one called, Sri Chaitanya Chandram. Sri Chaitanya Chandradaya, I think it's called. All about glorifying Lord Chaitanya. Very beautiful works. And in one of these works, he writes that this world is a phantasmagoria, which means, he gives the example, it is like, and Prabhupada quotes this in his purports, it is like flowers that grow in clouds in the sky. Have you ever seen it? You ever seen a cloud and there's flowers growing out of it? You know why you haven't seen it? Because it doesn't exist. There's no such thing. There probably is on some heavenly planet or something. At least on this earth, there's no such thing. But that's what we think in this world. You know, in our mind, we close our eyes and we think, oh, it can be like this. Oh, only if she loved me. Oh, only if he loved me. You know, in our mind, we think all that. But it's phantasmagoria. It doesn't exist. But in our mind, we paint this whole picture of something in the sky, which is floating. But it's not actually there. That's this material world. So the kings, they realize this. It's all phantasmagoria. It doesn't actually exist. But we're attached to it. We think, yes, tomorrow it will all work. And I'll be completely happy. So good luck.
Sometimes we say material world is real but temporary.
Because the energy is real. The energy is real. The pradhan. Pradhan means the material energy. It is real.
But the manifestation is unreal.
The form is temporary. Like the mridanga, like the energy is real. But the form is temporary because that will disintegrate. So the energy remains, but the form comes and goes. Like our body, it comes and then it goes. It's mriti. In the Bible, it says ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Mriti, same thing. Please tell us how we may constantly remember your lotus feet. Though we continue in the cycle of birth and death in this world. So we have to remember Krishna's lotus feet. Always remember Krishna. Never forget Krishna. That is our motto. That is our guiding injunction. Always remember him, never forget him. The kings were pure in their motivation. They wanted pure devotion to Krishna. How can we remember Krishna's lotus feet? Prabhupada gives the very significant example in the Bhagavad Gita in one of his purports. The example of the sparrow and Garuda. You know that, Pastor?
Yeah.
So which one are we?
Sparrow.
The sparrow. And Krishna is? Garuda. So we have to meditate on that. I meditate on that quite a lot, that pass on. We have to be like a sparrow. How determined was that sparrow? I will empty the ocean. Could the sparrow empty the ocean? No. But was the sparrow going to empty the ocean? Yes. But could it? No. But was it going to? Yes. So that's what we have to be like. So determined to go back to Godhead. Will we get there by ourselves? No. But are we going to try? Yes. Will we get there? No. But are we going to try? Yes. So we have that determination. Krishna will just come in and just lift us up. Lord Chaitanya will lift us and just take us back to the spiritual world. Right? Like one devotee, one of the Chaupati brahmacharis, I can't remember which one, giving a lecture. He said, like, he was chanting and there's one ant. And the ant was climbing up and kept falling down. Trying to get up on something that kept falling down, kept going, but it just
kept doing it. And finally the brahmachari just lifted the ant and put it up there. So that's, he said, that's what it's like. We're like the ant, just keep trying, and then Krishna will, like Chaitanya will lift us. Again and again we offer our obeisances to Lord Krishna, Hari, the son of Vasudeva, that supreme soul, Govinda, vanquishes the suffering of all who surrender to him. That verse is very nice. If you look at the Sanskrit, Krishnaya Vasudevaya Hareye Paramatmane Pranata Kleshanashaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Very beautiful. What is this called? Sankirtan. This is the chanting the holy names of Krishna. Now, Jiva Goswami says this is one of the main reasons why the Bhagavatam is spoken. No? To give us Sankirtan, to give us the holy name of Krishna. So many verses like this. If you memorize them, you can just chant the holy name of Krishna. And at the time of death, if you chant the holy name of Krishna, Krishna may come and take you. Okay, last verse for tonight. Sukadeva Goswami said, thus the kings, now freed from bondage, glorify the Supreme Lord. Then, my dear Parikshit, that merciful bestower of shelter spoke to them in a gentle voice. Yeyata mam prabhajante. As you surrender to me, I reward you. They surrendered to Krishna, and then Krishna rewarded them, spoke to them very sweetly. Sri Krishna Chandra Bhagavan ki. Thank you very much. Please keep up with your fees. Of course, next week on Monday we will finish chapter 73. We're moving a little more quickly. We'll probably start the 11th canto issue. Hare Krishna.